Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. Thank you for joining me. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and this is the fourth class in our series. Wow, we're at number four already. And this is what I call the homework class. So our theme this time is having a spiritual career and taking spirit to work with you so that we're really focused on spirit 24/7 and that we don't put it aside when we go to work, because that can happen. I can remember doing that. And our topic that I got for Dove Fishman is working with spiritual integrity. He loved the topic. So spiritual integrity, working with spiritual integrity. Dove Fishman gave a great class yesterday, as always. He never fails because he loves A Course in Miracles and he passionately applies it in his life. So he's such a great, great teacher for us. Truly he is. And I feel blessed that we could have him as one of the teachers in this series. I am excited to share my own insights about spiritual integrity. So we are going to jump in here and begin with a prayer. I invite you to place your hand on your heart as I am doing and to take a breath of love and gratitude as we open ourselves to the unlimited, unprecedented flow of divine love and goodness. So grateful and thankful to open ourselves to dynamic love and wisdom. So grateful to allow ourselves the free flow of pure insight, wisdom, clarity. So grateful, so thankful to open ourselves to insight. So grateful to allow ourselves to be truly led and truly guided by the Spirit. So grateful and so thankful that our life is the life of God. Our heart is the heart of God. Our mind is the mind of God. And we are employing our life, our heart, our mind, for God Incorporated, for choosing the atonement, accepting the atonement, recognizing the atonement for ourselves, and sharing the benefits of our life of love with everyone, because we're one with them. So grateful and so thankful to allow ourselves to be led and guided. We are walking the talk, we are living the love, and all boats rise on this holy tide of love. In gratitude, we allow it to be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Hmm. Oh, so blessed to have you joining with me, whether you're listening live or joining with me later. We're all joining together in this Walking the Talk. So one of the things that David talked about yesterday was integrity as being related to our purpose. And I'm a big fan of looking up words in Webster's Dictionary. I've got the app on my phone, and I move around. I don't have a home right now. I haven't really had a home in quite a while, but I used to when I had a home. I had this huge Webster's Dictionary, and I used to love to pull it out and look up words. Now I use my app on my phone, and the word integrity, as defined by Merriam-Webster, is the quality of being honest and fair. The state of being complete or whole, the quality of being honest and fair, the state of being complete or whole. And I love the way that marries with David saying integrity equals purpose. So in the Manual for Teachers, A Course in Miracles tells us that honesty is what consistency is. And so being complete or whole, being honest and fair, being consistent is right in alignment with being in integrity, having integrity. So many of us have come to think of integrity as meaning having morals, being honest and fair, like Webster's is talking about, you know, having standards. But it also, integrity, it has this other meaning of that there's a sense of wholeness. So, for instance, if something's integrity is compromised, not a person, but a thing, let's say, then its wholeness is compromised. So our purpose really is to be consistent, to be honest. That's what A Course in Miracles calls honesty, is consistency. So we're consistently loving, consistently patient, consistently kind, consistently peaceful. And when we are, there is naturally an expression of our wholeness. And let's face it, one of the most fundamental things that's talked about in A Course in Miracles is that we're one with each other, we're not separate, right? And all problems that we have, all illusions and delusions, go to this idea that we're separate from each other, from God, from the good. So wholeness, recognizing our wholeness, is one of the ways that we're able to release that sense of separation. And for me, as someone who prays frequently, and frequently praying with and for people who are physically challenged, emotionally and mentally challenged, and who don't feel whole, who seem to be experiencing a lack of wholeness, I make a lot of prayers to remember the nature of wholeness as omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniactive. So wholeness is God's essential nature. It truly is. Wholeness is God's essential nature. And there is no separation. There's only the unity, only the oneness. And so when we're making a prayer for restoration, for healing of any kind, physical, mental, emotional, financial, creative, whatever way you could be making a prayer for wholeness, that we're recognizing, because God is all that there is nothing else, there never has been and there never will be. Because of that, wholeness is God's nature. There's nothing in opposition to God. There's nothing in conflict with God. There's nothing working against God, because God is all that there is. And God is the macrocosm. We are the microcosm. So if God's nature is wholeness, our nature must be wholeness also. So if we're experiencing something that seems like less than wholeness, other than wholeness, we can be sure that it's an illusion, that it's a delusion, that it's not true, and that it's come to help us wake up. It's not to hurt us, but to help us. And being able to recognize this restores us to that natural spiritual integrity that we have. In my preparation for today, I was just asking the Holy Spirit, lead me to what you would like me to share from the Course. That's how I do it. And I was led to probably my favorite chapter in the Course, chapter 2. I just find myself going back to it all the time. And so section 1, paragraph 5 of chapter 2, in the second half there, says, peace is an attribute in you. Peace is an attribute in you. And this is part of the wholeness. This is part of our integrity. Peace is an attribute in you. It's an aspect of our very being. Peace is an attribute in you. You cannot find it outside. So there is no peace in the world. We're finding peace in our hearts, and then there is peace. So peace is an aspect of our being. It's in us. It's not outside. It says illness is some form of external searching. Illness is some form of external searching. So let's just take a moment here, because this is the beauty of these homework classes. Let's take a healing moment here and look at where we've been externally searching for something to get in order to feel better about ourselves. Some people think they would feel better about themselves if they had a romantic partnership. Some people think they would feel better about themselves if they could get rid of their romantic partner, their spouse. External searching. It's the job that validates somebody. It's the salary that validates somebody. It's the friendship, the relationship that validates somebody. The credentials that validate somebody. This is all external searching. Illness is some form of external searching. Resonating with that, allowing it to become clear in our mind. Health is inner peace, it says. So peace is an attribute in you, and health is inner peace. So when we are cultivating the peace from within, we're cultivating health. So peace is an attribute in us. We can't find it outside. And health is inner peace. So what disturbs our peace is actually, it's like an alarm bell going off, that there's some belief that we have that's like a splinter in our mind, that if we put our attention on it, sometimes for even just a couple of minutes, we can actually have a permanent and lasting healing. And when we're willing to do this consistently, then we can truly transform our life. So having spiritual integrity, sometimes we get into the ego's perception of what spiritual integrity could be, might be, but really is not. So many times the thought of what spiritual integrity is it, that it's going to be something like you don't drink alcohol, or you don't have sex, or you're not a sexual person, or your spiritual integrity is this or that spiritual practice. The ego can make up all kinds of things about what spiritual integrity is. But spiritual integrity, and this is not a concept that's written in the course. So I'm exploring it with you because I feel like the Holy Spirit guided me to this topic to talk about integrity. Because I know when I was a student studying to be a science of mind practitioner, when I was a student studying to be a minister, there was a lot of questioning of people's integrity. And I still hear it going on among spiritual students, questioning other people's integrity. And one of the things that I learned is it's out of integrity for me to question someone else's integrity. I can tune in to the Holy Spirit, and I can recognize whether or not there is something for me to move towards or move away from, to hold in prayer, but I am not interested in judging anyone, including myself. And being in spiritual integrity, there's no part of it that includes being judgmental. There's no part of it that includes being judgmental. So for me, the most basic practice for us in order to have health and peace of mind and to experience true wholeness, spiritual integrity, is to practice non-judgment. And one of the things I teach about is forgiveness, of course. I've been teaching forgiveness for 17 years. Teaching workshops in forgiveness, and have a retreat, a whole forgiveness weekend retreat coming up the second weekend in October. You can read about it at jenniferhadley.com. And I did one the same time of year last year. So if you're listening to this recording 5 years from now, there's probably a forgiveness retreat somewhere on the horizon there coming up. So forgiveness, many people think forgiveness is saying that what happened is okay, or I'm not going to let it bother me, or I'm going to forget about it. But that's none of those things is what true forgiveness is. So true forgiveness, according to A Course in Miracles, is fundamentally non-judgment. It's saying what happened, happened. What is, is. Can't change the past, but I can change my mind about the past. And that's what forgiveness is. So if we have judged something, then forgiveness is needed. If we practice non-judgment, no forgiveness is needed. So that's the path that to me is so much easier. Just don't judge in the first place, and then you don't have any forgiveness lessons. So much easier. And I can testify to that, and so can the people who are in my Masterful Living class and my Finding Freedom class, because we practice it together. So yesterday, David was talking about, I could see peace instead of this. This is choosing spiritual integrity. And one of the things that I feel guided by the Spirit for us to look at is complaints. And complaints are judgments. They really are. And one of the things that I've learned as a spiritual student who's committed to practicing non-judgment and being forgiving is I have a mind that my ego mind, it used to be a chronic complainer. Chronic complainer. And I have a little song that I sing to my ego when it feels like complaining. And I'm very grateful in this moment to recognize I haven't sung it in a while, but this is the song I sing to change the tune of the ego when it goes into complaint mode. Judge, 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 judge. It's to the tune of that they play it at sports events, like, you know, the thing that leads up to saying charge. And so when I notice that my mind is complaining, I sing that song to myself because A, it changes my tune right away, and B, it makes me laugh every time. So that's good. And there's no way to be in peace in your mind and be complaining. No way. Can't have both. So you have to choose, if you feel like you've got complaints, you have to choose between peace and your complaints. Now, what the section that I just read here from chapter 2, section 1, paragraph 5, peace is an attribute in you. Illness is some form of external searching. Health is inner peace. It enables you to remain unshaken by lack of love from without and capable, through your acceptance of miracles, of correcting the conditions proceeding from lack of love in others. So another way to say that would be that peace, the attribute that's in us, enables us to remain uncomplaining by lack of love from others. And it also makes us capable, the inner peace that's in us, that's there always, the spark of love, the spark of peace that's in us forever and cannot be put out. It enables us to remain uncomplaining, unshaken. And it also makes us capable of correcting the conditions proceeding from lack of love in others. So when others are unloving and they are making that cry for love, that's a lack of love, the peace that is our true nature enables us, makes us capable of shifting that whole thing, correcting the conditions proceeding from lack of love. So when you see something in the world, whether it's a terrorist attack, or it's somebody broke your favorite coffee cup, or someone ran over your dog, or whatever it is, because we see some really challenging things in this world. We see some really challenging things. We see things like people who go into the hospital for simple procedures end up dying because of people's mistakes. We see people who are wealthy, wealthy, wealthy people hoarding money will actually take money from poor people, take their homes away from them in order to, so that they and their family could have even more money that they're never going to spend or put to use for the good of anyone but themselves. We see some really intense things in this world that we can oftentimes feel incredibly helpless to change. But if we're willing to hold spiritual integrity is our inheritance, it's our birthright, that we can practice spiritual integrity, then through our acceptance of miracles, in other words, what does that mean, acceptance of miracles? It means that we align with our God thoughts, that we align with perfect love, and we let the Holy Spirit guide us, the higher Holy Spirit itself. We let Jesus guide us. We don't go it alone, right? We go with Spirit. Through that, we're accepting miracles, miraculous insights, wisdom, clarity. As someone who I get miraculous ideas and thoughts and guidance all the time. And so often when I follow it, it leads me to a place I never anticipated going and benefits I never anticipated experiencing. Consistently, I notice it on a daily basis, really. It's so practical that when we're miracle-minded, then we're in spiritual integrity. And then because of that, our awareness, our holding the peace, which is the attribute that's in all of us, and cultivating that peace, we're literally correcting the conditions proceeding from lack of love in others. Powerful, powerful stuff. But the thing is we won't believe it unless we prove it. And that's why in my Masterful Living course, in my Finding Freedom Boot Camp, we focus on proving God. And A Course in Miracles, the entire workbook, is dedicated to supporting us in practicing. Right? It's a self-study course. Because no one can teach it to us. So I share about A Course in Miracles, but really to say that I teach A Course in Miracles isn't quite accurate. I share, and I'm doing what the teachers of God can do. I'm modeling what I'm learning. I'm healing as I learn. I'm sharing as I learn. And people are watching and paying attention, and they can feel what's true and what's not true, where I'm successful and where I'm less successful. And that either inspires or motivates them to practice on their own. And then what I love is I love to do it together, because I find it so much easier for me to do it with others. It helps me to be consistent, because I was such a complainer. I like being consistent. I like it. I used to think that it wasn't possible for me to be consistent, that I didn't have what it took. Now I know that I do, because I proved it. And this is why I encourage others to prove God. It's very exciting. It's very, very exciting. I hear so many people say to me that they thought it wasn't possible for them. And that's how I used to feel. I used to feel helpless and hopeless that these kinds of miraculous shifts and changes, the miraculous healing of the heart, that these things were possible for other people, but not for me. It's possible for people in other circles, but not my circle. I didn't have what it takes. I was missing that miracle gene, that miracle chromosome. I didn't have it. It wasn't possible for me because I was too damaged. There was something too wrong with me. I was too bad, bad seed. But I realized it's not true, but I believed it. And because I believed it, it seemed true. And because I believed it and it seemed true, I was looking for evidence to affirm that I was right all the time. And then I realized the insanity of that. If I'm looking for evidence and proof that there's something wrong with me, I'll always find it. So I decided to start looking for proof and evidence that I am love, I am lovable, I am perfect, I am magnificent. I started to look for the same evidence in my brothers and sisters. And I found that it was far more enjoyable than complaining. And I realized I used to complain because I felt powerless. The powerless feeling, nobody is powerless, but people who feel powerless are more inclined to complain than people who feel empowered. What allows us to feel empowered? Only one thing. Love. That's the only power there is. That's why I was guided to call my ministry Power of Love Ministry. It's the only power there is. It's the power that is in each of us, just like peace is our inner quality. Love is our very nature. So when we're complaining, when we're criticizing, then we're feeling powerless. We're looking for some kind of way to get our power back, because we feel so separate from the power. And in that sense of separation and powerlessness, the ego thinks that power comes from attacking. Power to the ego comes from being better than. So the one who's critical and condemning seems to have power, the power to attack, the power to hurt. But as I was saying in the first couple classes this week, Jesus taught us, if I be lifted up, I draw all unto me. That's the way to experience the power of God, is to be it. To be lifted up. And then to be a supportive, loving, healing presence in this world. And this is how we're designed to be, which is why when we can extend love and be love, we feel so much better about ourselves and about our life, and we start getting in the flow of love and good things begin to occur. Miracles, because we move into the miracle-mindedness. Now, worry is the negative use of our imagination. That's what Ernest Holmes said. I love that quote from him. Worry is the negative use of our mind. It's imagining things that aren't happening that we don't wish to have happen. And because our mind is the mind of God, we share the same mind with all beings. It's like polluting the one mind to be in worry. And because perception is projection, when we are perceiving that things are not going to go well for us or might not go well for us, when we're perceiving that we're unloved and unprotected, when we're perceiving that we're on our own and we have to defend ourselves because we're being attacked, then because we believe it, we're going to experience it. Maybe not manifest in our life as our experiences, but we're going to feel it in our physical body, right? When I used to worry, I would feel it in my physical body. I get stressed sometimes. I feel like I've taken on more than I can handle in a day. One of my least favorite things is packing and unpacking, and I do a lot of it because I move around a lot. And sometimes when I leave things in different places, and then I'll go there and I'll pack and repack and stuff like that, and take different clothes for different seasons and things like that. And sometimes when I'm stayed for a while and then I'm going to pack up and go to the next place for a couple of months, I start to get stressed about doing it. Will I pack well? Will I forget things? And it's just ego vestiges of things, and I can feel when there's a sense of stress or worry that it's doubt. And A Course in Miracles tells us all doubt is self-doubt. So when we are taking these kinds of things into the workplace, complaints, criticism, and worry, they're, in many ways, they're all forms of attack. So it's easy to see how a complaint is an attack thought. It's easy to see how criticism is an attack thought. And a worry thought is an attack actually on God. It's actually, worry is, it's like announcing, God's not here. God left the building. Now I'm in charge, and woo, I should not be left in charge. That's generally the very essence and nature of worry, is that we believe God has left the building, left us in charge. We're on our own and we don't have what it takes to figure it out. And that's why we're worried. It's self-doubt. All doubt is self-doubt. And so it's an attack on God because God hasn't left the building. Where's God going to go that God could leave the building? Right? But there is the thought that God doesn't care about us anymore because, gosh, if God cared about us, would God send us earthquakes? If God cared about the Mexicans, would God have sent those earthquakes? If God cared about the people of Texas and Florida and the Caribbean, would God have sent these hurricanes? If God cared about the poor people, wouldn't God let them have food and other things? You see, but here's the fundamental challenge with looking at things that way is God is not a being. God is not a man, an old man watching over us. It's not like that. And I think most spiritual students know that, that we're part of God. We're one with God. And in A Course in Miracles, Jesus calls God the Father. And when Jesus walked the earth and he said, the Father and I are one, it's pretty clear from the teachings in A Course in Miracles that he didn't mean the Father and I are one, but not you. No, he meant everyone is one with God because we're part of God. How can we not be one if we're part of God? It doesn't even make sense. So Jesus tells us very clearly in A Course in Miracles, we are part of God. And so that which is true about God is true about us. God is the macrocosm. We are the microcosm. So there's an essential integrity that we have, that we bring with us into every moment. But when we feel unworthy, it's like we're putting our light under a barrel, a basket. And so we're attacking God when we're attacking ourselves. We're attacking God when we're attacking our brothers and sisters. Jesus said it this way when he walked the earth. I love this. One of my favorite things that he said, what you do to the least of them, you do to me. That was his teaching on oneness. What you do to the least of them, you do to me. So when we start attacking, complaining, criticizing, judging, we're taking ourselves out of spiritual integrity. And then one of the things that you notice when you see people complaining about people's integrity, where's their integrity? Right? So I learned, you know, it's like the old Native American saying that if you're pointing a finger at someone, then you've got at least three fingers pointing back at you. I'd rather not point any fingers anymore. What I'd rather do is offer a hand to my brothers and sisters. Now, sometimes literally offering a hand and offering to help someone is not the best thing, but we can mentally do that, and that immediately puts us back in spiritual integrity to be able to extend love and compassion and to extend kindness and caring. That's how we can get to that. Because you know what one of the things that's so fundamental and beautiful about A Course in Miracles is it's letting us know that our nature is wholeness and we can remember it through honoring our brothers and sisters. And so that's our divine opportunity, is to see that truth. That our brothers and sisters, their very nature, like ours, is that perfect wholeness. In fact, in chapter 2, in that same section 1, in paragraph 4, it starts with, all fear is ultimately reducible to the basic misperception that you have the ability to usurp the power of God, right? So that's God has left the building. That's what all fear is about. All fear is I'm on my own. God has left me. I have left God. I'm on my own. All fear is related to that. All fear stems from lack of love, and the cure for fear is perfect love. Well, perfect love is what we are, so we are the cure for all the fear that's in the world. We are the cure for all the fear that's in the world. So if we're looking at the fear in the world that's showing up as wars, that's showing up as so many people in prison, incarcerated, that's showing up as all manner of attack. So whether it's racism or sexism or ageism, all the different isms of the world, the remedy is for us to be in spiritual integrity with who we really are. This is what David and I were talking about yesterday, that really walking the talk and living that truly helpful prayer. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent God who sent me. So we're representing God. We're representing God. This is why we decided to incarnate at this time. So all misperceptions, just by the name of it, all misperceptions that are the cause of fear, misperceptions are the cause of fear. We don't realize who we are, that we are perfect love, and that perfect love is the remedy for all problems. All misperceptions are false. Of course, right? How could it be any other way? It's right there in it's false perceptions. So false perceptions freak us out. So if we're freaked out, we have to be believing something that's not true. So simple. It's logical. It's logical. So, one of the things that it says in A Course in Miracles that's so incredibly helpful is that we can give all the misperceptions to Spirit, to Jesus, for healing. We can let Jesus into our mind to guide our mind and to erase all misperceptions. He talks about this in the text, chapter 3, section 4, paragraph 7. He says, I cannot unite your will with God's for you. So you have to do that. You have to decide that you'd like to come back into your right mind and recognize your oneness and unity with God. And that's what uniting your will with God is. It's recognizing you're part of God. You're one with God. He says, so I can't do that for you. I can't choose unity for you. I can't accept the atonement for you. You have to do that for yourself. But that's the only part you have to do. You just have to be willing. And then he says, I can erase all misperceptions from your mind if you will bring it under my guidance. Only your misperceptions stand in your way. Without them, your choice is certain. So my question is, are you willing to open your mind and to invite Jesus in to guide you, to guide your mind and to take from you all misperceptions? Are you willing? That's all you have to do is say, I am willing, Jesus, please take my mind, bring it under your guidance, remove all misperceptions. I'm asking you to please help me now. Make it so now. Now. This now. Then, of course, when you feel disturbed, that's an indication that you're essentially not willing. When there's a disturbance and you feel annoyed, you feel frustrated, You feel irritated. You feel sad. You feel angry. You feel hurt. Maybe you feel jealous, guilty, resentful, something like that. What that indicates in that moment is that you gave Jesus the boot out of your mind. He's not guiding your mind anymore. You're entertaining the misperceptions. So that's, we could call that lack of spiritual integrity without any judgment, and just say, yeah, I lost the wholeness, the vision of wholeness in my mind. And I started to be divisive in my mind. So right now, at the time that this class series is being offered, we see a lot of divisiveness happening in the world. We see a lot of leaders who are intentionally seeking to divide and conquer. And so their language is divisive, their choices are divisive. And we can look at this and say, oh, this is horrible. This is terrible, terrible, bad, bad thing. But the most fundamental thing for us to recognize as Course in Miracles students is we cannot experience something in this world that is not for our good. Everything in this world works together for our good. Everything. And that's the thing for us not to question anymore, is this idea that somehow something is working against us. Everything works together for good. There are no exceptions. Everything works together for our good, for your good, for my good. There are no exceptions. This is the literal teaching of A Course in Miracles. And lesson 135, one of the most famously or frequently quoted sections, lesson 135, which just, by the way, happens to be the longest lesson in the workbook, is the one about a healed mind does not plan. But it's entitled, "In My Defenselessness, My Safety Lies." And so in paragraph 18, it talks about what could you not accept if you but knew that everything was gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good. There are many places in the Course where Jesus is telling us everything works together for your good. And if you think it doesn't, that is a misperception. Open your mind to me. I will guide you and I will heal you of all misperceptions. So just think, if you have the perception, the misperception, but you have the perception that something is working against you, something could hurt you in this world. You have the perception that you're not good enough, something's wrong with you, you're not worthy. You're probably going to feel irritated, frustrated, upset by it. Well, that's because it's a misperception, and your upset is the indicator that it is a misperception. And I love lesson 25. I don't know what anything is for. Until I can see beyond all directions of time and space, I don't know what anything is for. It's kind of crazy to say that I do. A lot of times I would just be making that up, and then I would feel like an idiot, because when I'm making stuff up, somebody could come right along and say, "You're just making that up. That's crazy. That's not even true." And then if I was attached to it, I might feel bad about myself. So I'm never upset for the reason I think, right? Right there in the early lessons of the Course. I'm never upset for the reason I think. I'm always upset by my misperceptions. And how could I be upset by my misperceptions, except that maybe what I'm really upset about is that I know, on some fundamental level, I know I could let Jesus guide my mind. I could learn through joy. I could be happy and prosperous and healthy and wealthy and wise. I could feel good about myself and be in very loving, nurturing relationships. But now I want to cling to my misperceptions. So I think that for me, there was a lot of that, that I secretly was just so mad at myself that I kept poking myself in the eye, stabbing myself in the head when I didn't have to. It was completely optional. Suffering is optional. It's something we have to choose. And this is the thing, is Jesus says, I can't choose for you. But if you open your mind to me, if you make that choice, then I can take all the misperceptions out of your mind. And I have to say, I've been doing this and working with Spirit for years now to do this, and it works. And I share this with other people, and they prove that it works too. I can't do it for anyone else but myself, but I can show others that it works. It works for everyone. It's a universal promise. It is the truth about this world that this is our divine opportunity. And this is what puts us in spiritual integrity. So then we move into thinking about it in terms of the workplace. For me, I'm never not in the workplace, in a sense, because I feel so strongly that I serve the light, and the light is all that there is. And I don't mind always being in the workplace. There was a time when I wanted to compartmentalize. And I remember having these conversations with God where I'd say, okay, God, here's the deal. 60% of my life, way more than 50, 60. All right, let's go to 70. 70% of my life, I'm working for God. And then the other 30%, you know, that's my own business. I'm going to do whatever I want to do or need to do in that 30%. But you got this 70%. I'm giving that to you. And in 70% of my time and energy and attention is in being devoted to being loving and compassionate and caring. And the other 30%, I'm going to just, you know, that's my time. I'll do what I need to do. I really used to think that way. And then the course of a couple of years, I moved into a space of where I literally was on my knees saying, God, don't let me hold anything back anymore, please. I don't want to hold anything back from you. The only thing I really, really desire is to be all in with you. To see you, to know you, to feel you, to hear you in every moment. To feel your love, to hear your guidance, to do your work, to know your love, to see your perfection shining in myself and everyone else. This is my one desire. Nothing else, just this, just you. Unlimited God. Which I feel it's so important to understand that that doesn't mean that I still don't get irritated or frustrated sometimes, or that I didn't go for many years still being judgmental and feeling vindictive and all kinds of things. But more and more, I was letting it go, less and less attached to being right. And more willing to simply be loving, to be kind, to be generous. So this is where really the spiritual integrity really kicks in for me. It's not focusing on what I did wrong. It's not focusing on where I was unloving. I don't want to focus on that anymore. That's misery making. There's no point in that. That's not loving. Right? When we have conversations with our loved ones and we say, I don't like that you did this. I don't like that you did that. You know, I find it so much more productive in relationships to say what I'd like than what I don't like. And that puts me in that place of feeling the wholeness, feeling the peace, focusing on what I'd like, not what I don't like. And I have to say that the less complaints I have, because I have so much less than I used to, and the less critical I am, the more loving, the more kind, the more generous I am, the easier my life gets, the more things go my way. So there's a tendency to think, oh my gosh, if I don't keep everything in line, if I let people just walk all over me, then I'm going to be miserable. Well, being critical and judgmental of people doesn't keep them from walking all over someone. It doesn't have anything to do with people walking all over us or taking advantage of us. You know what's the cure for people taking advantage of you? Don't let them. Don't let them. I've moved into a place in my life where I'm trying to think of the last time somebody took advantage of me. I can't think of it. Seriously. Because the only way someone can take advantage of me is if I'm giving something to them in order to manipulate them and they don't give me what I want. That's the only way someone can take advantage of me. Well, I'm not interested in manipulating people by giving them what I want, what they want, in order to get from them what I want. That's let's make a deal. It's not love. There's no spiritual integrity in that. It's just ego deal making. Right? The cure for lack of love is perfect love. That's what A Course in Miracles tells us. The cure for lack of love is perfect love. What are we? Perfect love. We are the cure for lack of love. So the only way someone can take advantage of you is if you allow it. How does it happen? Let's just think about that for a moment. Like if you're in your workplace or in your family or your relationships, it doesn't matter where really, because especially if you work for God Incorporated, you work to serve the light, then your workplace is everywhere. It's constant. It's all the time. Think of where you feel someone's taking advantage of you. Or maybe it's in the past. They did it to you in the past. Just think about that for a minute. And we're wrapping up here before too long. So, can you see how there was something in there that you were trying to get from them, that you were giving to them? What were you giving to them? What did you want to get from them? Because when we're giving to get, and it doesn't go well, which it never does, even if it seems like it goes well, it's just building to the next level and the next level until it implodes, because that's all it can do. What was it you were seeking to get from them? What were you doing to get them to do something that you feel taken advantage of? If you had been giving freely from your heart, you couldn't have been taken advantage of. It's just not possible. That's why I used to feel taken advantage of, but I don't anymore. Because I give freely or I don't give. I'm not interested in codependency and manipulation in my relationships anymore. It's icky and I know it now. There's no part of it that's loving and I'm not interested in participating. So if I notice that that seems to be we're moving in that direction, I stop. I recalibrate. I rethink it. I look for guidance. I make a different choice. And I find a better way. So there are many ways that we can help ourselves by really looking at our motivations. Are we moving from love? Because love is inspired, right? In spirit, inspired. Motivation is usually of the ego. Isn't it wonderful to work with inspiration? Sometimes motivation's the best we can do. But when we start really operating from that place of being in the flow of love, the manipulation falls away, the guilt falls away, the shame falls away, the blame falls away, everything that is painful falls away because we're in the flow of love and working for love. And one of the decisions that I made that really changed my life is to work only for love. I stopped working for money and I decided to work only for love. And it was a recalibration. I won't kid you. It was definitely a recalibration. Oh, I'm so glad I did that though. Because it was really a major changer. Major, major changer. And that's why I do what I do. And that's why I love supporting people who'd like to have a spiritual profession. A few years ago, I started training spiritual counselors. And because I knew how beneficial being a spiritual counselor was to me. My clients taught me so much. God taught me so much every time I went to join with a client. I learned so much, and it's just exactly what it says in A Course in Miracles, that your brothers will teach you to heal. Your brothers, if you sit with your brother in non-judgment, your mind will be healed, and theirs will be too. It's miraculous, and I can say it works. So I love training spiritual counselors now. And I do a week-long intensive, and I also have a certification program that takes most people a couple of years to do. And wow, I see what's happening in these people's lives as they're doing this beautiful work, and how much more they love themselves and their families are healing, and so many, many beautiful, wonderful benefits. New experiences of prosperity are unfolding. It's absolutely spectacular. So if that calls to you, I just would like to let you know that that's one of my things, and I'm working on a ministerial program as well. And so that is percolating and forming. And yes, I'm interested in supporting lightworkers who would like to earn their living by sharing their passion for spirituality. I really would. And speaking of someone who does that, that is definitely the truth about every one of the speakers in this series, teachers in this class series. And it's definitely the truth about my friend Cindy Laura Renard, who's our teacher tomorrow. And I'm very excited to do a class with Cindy. She and I have never done anything just the two of us. So I've done a number of things with her and other people, and including, of course, her husband, Gary Renard. But this is the first time I'm having her just because I've had her family on my radio show a couple of times, and because they all practice A Course in Miracles, and Cindy was one of the participants in the Loving America Free series that we did with Jimmy Twyman and Bill Free and Vicky Poppy and John Mundy and David Fishman did one of those as well. And yes, so Cindy was one of that series. I just love her. She's a very clear teacher. She's oh my God, she is so wonderful in every way. I mean that. I've known her for 11 years. We've been friends. And Wow, I just can't say enough about her. So I'm very excited to have her join us tomorrow. And her topic is true success. And it's something she definitely knows about. She's such a devoted student of A Course in Miracles. My God, she's precious. So I can't wait for that tomorrow. I'm going to speak a word of prayer here. And I just want to make sure that before I do, I tell you about one of the free offerings we have at Power of Love Ministry, which is free text messages. I do free prayer every day. I record a new prayer every day. I've been doing that for 10 years, every day. And I write spiritual inspiration every day, but also we send text messages every day. They're free. And if you text the word miracles to the number 35227, you can sign up for them. Text the word miracles to the number 35227, or go to livingacourseofmiracles.com, jenniferhadley.com, or acimtexts.com, and you'll see how to sign up for those. And you know, one more thing I'm just going to ask you. I put this in the emails as a PPS. If you see our posts at Facebook, will you like them and share them? That really helps us a lot. It's one of the main ways that people find out about these free classes. So please just take that moment to like and share. Thank you. So let's take a breath of love and gratitude here. Place our hand on our heart again and be so grateful that we are choosing spiritual integrity to be in wholeness, to have a healing in our mind and to let spirit do the heavy lifting. We are grateful and thankful to partner up with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of remembering our true nature and letting the past go. All misperceptions fall away. We are grateful and thankful to give up the habits of complaining, blaming, and shaming. We are grateful and thankful to open ourselves to spirit, to enter into our mind and remove from our awareness all misperceptions. We are grateful and thankful to cherish the truth and to remember to teach only love, for that is what we are. In gratitude, we allow the healing to be. We let it be. We know it's done, and so it is. Amen. 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 Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Mwah! This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.